So let's spend a little bit of time going up against, going back to practice, because I look at the talent is on the defensive side of the football. If this team is going to win a championship, it's going to be on the defensive side of the football. But I go to the defensive line. There's so much depth there. We saw it back at A-Day. The defensive line really dominated the offensive line. But going up against those guys, how did they make you better as an offensive lineman when you went up against the talented defensive lineman? Because Alabama is going up against talent that they will not see until Florida.
Yeah.
West Virginia, Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss, they're going up against better talent right now in practice.
Yeah, well, that's true, and that's a good thing. I mean, that should prepare them for just about anybody they're going to play this year. And, you know, obviously, as good as our defense I think will be, they're going to get also better every week. And it's a great benefit for our offensive line to be able to practice against those guys every day and to get better. But there's nothing that duplicates, no matter who you're practicing against, nothing duplicates game experience, 100,000 plus in the stands. You get the jitters, the nerves, the whole thing. You just got to have game experience, man. It doesn't matter how much you practice against the best defense in the country. It's just that game time. There's something about it.
Bill, I want to go back in this 7 o'clock hour. We're going to break here, but I want to go back and I want to talk about your book.
Okay.
And I want to dive a little bit deeper because your story is inspiring.
Okay.
You never know in the current day with we look at, you know, suicides all across the country.
Right.
We look at people that are suffering from drug addiction. And you have a story that's inspiring. You share it all over high schools, colleges, and that's what you do. You were last night, you were in Georgia, tonight you're in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
And I want you to sort of dive a little bit deeper into that story because
sure.
We've talked about 30 minutes about being on the mountaintop, playing for the University of Alabama.
Right.
But that's not always been the case, and I
Correct.
Think you're willing to admit that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a time where I was very, very far away from the mountaintop, very far away from Alabama and, you know, my roots here and the things I learned here. I would be glad to talk to you about that and always interested in sharing that story with people if they're willing to listen and hopefully, every time you share it, at least somebody gets some benefit out of it.
Before we move into the conversation about your book, that was the players that were singing the fight song. Do you remember doing that? I mean, did Coach Bryant, how did he celebrate a win? What was it like post-locker room, in that locker room after a big win, like winning national titles
in the 70s? I don't remember singing the fight song, but I remember a lot of hoop and hollering and celebrating and hugging and crying and, you know, that whole thing. And, gosh, I don't know. I think Coach Bryant and Coach Donahue and some of our coaches probably within 24 hours were back working on a game plan for the first game of the next season, like I think Coach Saban probably does too. So, you know, those guys that work like they do, you know, they're always thinking a few steps ahead of the rest of us and always working towards the next game or the next championship or what have you. But, you know, obviously there was plenty of celebration on the players' part and you know, especially the end of a season, if we finished with championships and bowl games and bowl wins, it was always a lot of fun.
Bill, I want to talk about it. Story of Football, Free Fall, and Forgiveness. The book is called High Tide. Bill Searcy, who played here at the University of Alabama, walking out of here, national champ twice, SEC championship three different times, never losing to Auburn, never losing to Tennessee. Let's talk about something that the message that you share all over the Southeast, talking to high schools, and you're still available to speak to church groups. You were last night in Georgia. Tonight you're in Tuscaloosa, and that continues quite a bit. Walk us through the early parts of that, leaving football, what happened, and then we make it to where we are today and winning
Sure.
championships again.
Sure. The abbreviated version would be left Alabama, had opportunity to play professional football, ended up actually in the USFL. Well, went to camp in the NFL, got in some trouble in training camp because of some off-the-field activities that actually came as a result of drinking and partying too much, and got in some trouble, got kicked out of camp there, ended up in the USFL, got in trouble again there for the same reasons out in Houston with the Houston Gamblers and the USFL, and got kicked off the team there and ended up in San Diego with the Chargers, where miraculously I did not get in trouble and ended up out there, but then ended up getting cut. Just, you know, natural attrition. They had drafted somebody really high. I was a long shot free agent at best. Anyway, enjoyed my time out there. But I had, by the time I left there and was pretty much done playing, I had a pretty bad alcohol and drug addiction. Was able to get free of that, the grip that both of those had on me. Got married, had a great job in Birmingham, Alabama, with a real estate company there. Ended up at the hospital in probably around about 2000, I guess it was. Had to take pain medication because of some kidney stone problems, and ended up becoming addicted to pain medicine. I just told you I had previously been badly addicted to cocaine and to alcohol about 10 years prior to that, and gone through some rehabilitation for that, and gotten married, had a child and all, had a great career in the real estate business, got addicted to pain medicine, and then about 4 years later, 2004, August of 2004, by that time I had lost my job, lost my family, had pawned two national championship rings from here in Alabama, you know, for about $600 for drugs, and was just in extremely bad shape, and ended up on the streets in Birmingham homeless. Spent some time out on the streets, and then in 2006, my son, who at the time was 13, him and my ex-wife came to me and begged me to go one more time. By this time I had been in multiple rehabs, you know, psychiatric wards, and seen all the doctors you can see, and had all the advice I could possibly stomach, and you know, in jail and rehab, halfway houses, and everything else that goes along with that type of lifestyle. I was tired. I didn't want to go to another rehab. I pretty much was, as every day went by, I was basically hoping that sometime during the night when I passed out or fell asleep that I would die, that I wouldn't wake up. My son came to me and begged me to go to a place called Canaan Land, which is Otagoville, Alabama. It's a Christian-based, it's not a rehab, I want to make clear. It's a Bible training center that would take men like me at the time that are homeless or maybe coming out of prison trying to start their life over again. And lots of us had drug addictions or alcohol addictions or both or what have you. And taught us that we didn't have to live like that anymore. I mean, the first words that the founder told me, he was an ex-Hell's Angel motorcycle gangster, okay? And so he knew about the lifestyle. He knew the life. He understood where we were coming from. And he asked me if I were scared, and I told him I'm extremely scared. I think I was crying, and I had nothing left except a bag of dirty clothes, literally. And he said, well, he said, let me tell you something. He said, God loves you, and he's not mad at you. Well, wow. You have to understand that I knew there was a God, but I wasn't close to God. I had never tried to get close to God. But with that being said, I believed him for whatever reason, and he told me that if I would try to work the program that they were going to teach me, that my life would continue to get better from that day forward. Well, from that day forward, that was, like I said, that was January the 7th, 2007. I finished the program at Canaan Land in a year, stayed on two more years as a counselor there, and just started hearing about what really God had for me, that his promises do come true, that he did have a plan for my life. At the time, I didn't know what the plan was. I'm not so sure I still know exactly what it is, but I can tell you this, ever since January the 7th, 2007, my life has continued to get better and better every day. Not because of anything Bill Searcy did, but because of what God has done in my life. I was taught that Jesus died a long time ago. He died on a cross for all the wrong things that I did. And so I continue to remember that. I continue to try to share my testimony whenever it's possible with all types of groups. I'm just blessed that I get to spend time with athletes and high school teams. And the other day I got a great honor. I got to speak to the UAB football team. And you know, I just, wherever I can share my story and testimony, I try to do that. And hopefully when I do, someone gets something out of it. And, you know, hopefully things keep, I'll stop somebody from making the mistakes that I made.
Bill, I want to hit a couple of things, because we talked about that family that helped you out. You talked about your wife, or was it ex-wife at the time,
right.
and your son, and obviously we know him. He's him and I have a lot of things in common that
yep.
we have a lot of passion for hunting, and
that's right.
and your son loves that as well. So him and I get a chance to talk a lot about that. And but Bill, let me go back to those former players, because mm-hmm. there was a couple of guys that you've mentioned in your book,
right.
that made a difference in
Absolutely.
Your life.
Yep.
Talk about those guys that were there for Bill Searson.
Well, let me say this first. I truly believe that if I would have called any of my ex-teammates and told them the position I was in, no matter at what point I would have called them, they would have come together and helped me. But I was not mentally, at the time, I just couldn't. I was so ashamed of where my life had gone and what I had done that I did everything I could to hide what I was doing and where I was in my life from those teammates. That's number one, okay? I want to make that clear. Number two is that Rich Wingo, who was my teammate, my roommate at one time at Alabama, now actually a new member of House of Representatives from Tuscaloosa. Rich and I have been very close friends for 30-something years. And Rich started talking to me about God long, long time ago, even when he saw my life headed in the wrong direction. We were in the real estate business together. And every day he took the opportunity to share Jesus with me and share God's love with me. But I didn't accept it. You know, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't care about it. I didn't understand what was going on. He did, but he continued to be my friend through all those times. Although he loved me, I know he did, as my friend, there's just nothing he could do for me other than tell me that there was a better way, there was a better life, and so on. But now today, our relationship, I hope, I would like to say, is much stronger than it's ever been. We see each other at least once a week, every week. I come to Tuscaloosa every week to do a Bible study at First Baptist with Rich and his group of guys. And, you know, the book, in a nutshell, is about what God can do in anyone's life if we will ask him to come into our life and if we will dedicate our lives to him and to Jesus. And that's what the book's about.
Could you have ever dreamed in that valley? Because, see, this is where we're going to offer a little bit of encouragement. Bill Searcy's with us, offensive lineman at the University of Alabama, who won national titles, two of them, back-to-back here, almost a third. Never lost to Auburn, never lost to Tennessee. Great success as a football player here at the University of Alabama. We're talking about his book, High Tide, A Story of Football, Free Fall, and Forgiveness. In that valley, because there may be somebody out there that's in that valley mm-hmm. right now, give them that sense of hope, because something tells me when you were in that valley, mm-hmm. you could have never closed your eyes and dreamed of where you're at right now.
No, I never thought that, you know, like I just said a few minutes ago, really my greatest hope at one point was that I just wouldn't wake up the next day. I was just tired, and I was in as deep in that valley as, you know, that I ever could be. I was there. And I thought there was no hope for my life, that there was nothing good ever going to happen. And, you know, I was at a point where I had nothing to lose. When they told me that there was a way out, that way out was Jesus, I'll be honest with you, I had nothing else to lose. I didn't know if they were right or not at the time. Let me say that. I was willing to try just about anything to get out of the hole that I was in and to try to have a chance at having a normal, quote, normal life again. So what I can tell you is this, is that Jesus died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for the sins that we all have committed, will commit, and that's why he died was for us. With that being said, I just felt like that I had to run towards God, that I had to run towards Jesus and try to I beg for mercy, beg for help, beg for his forgiveness. And I mean, here we are, you know, 7 years later. Life is, you know, I have a great relationship with my son. I have a great relationship with my ex-wife. I have a great relationship with, I hope, with a lot of friends that at one time I had pushed away, that I had ostracized. And, you know, the ones that I don't have great relationships with, or maybe don't even want to talk to me, maybe they weren't ever friends in the first place. So, you know, who knows? But, you know, I have a great job. I work for a great company out of Columbus, Mississippi, Dutch Oil Company. And I have a place to live. I don't have to live in a car anymore. I don't have to live in the street anymore. I don't have to do a lot of things I used to do. And all that can be accredited to Jesus' love and his grace and his mercy.
Amazing story. Bill Searcy sharing it with us, an offensive lineman here at the University of Alabama. The book's available. You can also visit Bill on the website, BillSearcy.com. Now I'm going to tell a little bit of a unique story. Mm-hmm. This one is the one that always gets my attention. Obviously, the grace, it gets your attention because we don't really understand grace the way that we sing Amazing Grace. We don't really get it. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
we do, but we don't. And that's where your book and so many other testimonies give us that encouragement. You were sharing your story here in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. You were on the radio. We were talking. We had nothing to do with this. We don't reach Birmingham. We are on the internet, and we have our Radio Pup app. But you were having a conversation, sharing your book.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving back to Birmingham, and you talked about earlier pawning a national championship ring.
Right.
You get a phone call.
Right.
I want to walk through this one because this one's unique.
Okay. You're right. I had been here with you, and I was driving home one afternoon, and I got a message on my Facebook page from someone I didn't know. They were a friend of mine on Facebook, and he said, "You don't know me, but I believe that my dad has your 1979 national championship ring that I heard you talk about on the radio." I called this person. They gave me a phone number. I called another stranger. Gentleman answered the phone. I introduced myself. He said, "Bill, I heard you on the radio talking about your national championship rings." He said, "I bought your 79 championship ring 7 years ago in an auction, and I'd like for you to have it back." And, I mean, I was floored. I was, you know, but, you know, when God promises us that he will return everything to us that we have lost, I never once thought, you know, you hope that you get those kinds of things back. But if I hadn't, okay, it's not supposed to be. But when this happened, I thought, you know, every bit of what I've been taught is true. Every bit of of his promises do come true if we're faithful. And this guy said, "I want you to have your ring back." Well, my first thought is he paid money for it. You know, he's going to want some money for it. I said, "Well, how much is it? Because I don't know if I can afford it." He said, "No, I just want you to have it back." He said, "God told me that it's your ring. You earned it, and I want to give it back to you." And so I got my 79 national championship ring back, the original one, from him. Like I said, family in Trustville, Alabama, the Stevens family, by the way, Mike Stevens and his son Cole. You know, obviously we became fast friends, and I went and got the ring that day, and I didn't waste any time. And he understood what the ring meant to me, that there was so much meaning in that ring as far as something that God was returning to me. But not only that, but my time at Alabama and the championship and my teammates and football and all those dedication and all that stuff. And he really understood it. And, you know, I never could have thanked him any more than I did. And it was just one of those miracles that can in my life that continues to happen. It's, you know, we could talk and talk and talk, and I can tell you all kinds of things that have happened during the times when I was in the valley where I was protected from death, right on up till today, and they just seem to continue happening, you know.
Bill Searcy, the amazing story, it never gets old, of sharing God's love, and certainly the book, High Tide. Bill Searcy, Kelly Whitman, also the story of football, free fall, and forgiveness, who played at the University of Alabama. We've spent about 45 minutes talking about Alabama football, and I got tied up in the conversation. I only asked you for a few minutes.
It's all right.
You know the definition of a few minutes according to my terminology, so I apologize, Bill. But this has been a lot of fun. Free fall, forgiveness. Bill Searcy is available to speak to your group. If you're outside Tuscaloosa, you can connect with me on the Twitter account. We're already getting some tweets in from different Bama Nation outside of the area. But if you want to connect with me there and ask me some information, BillSearcy.com, SEARCEY.com. Bill Searcy, the available, the book is available there. And, you know, the one thing that the book would be inspiring, because maybe you are not going through this, but you know somebody that is, right. The book would be inspiring to purchase for them. BillSearcy.com. Bill, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ron.
Let's go win 16.
Let's do it. I'm ready, man. I'm fired up. I hope they are.
10 days away.
Yes, we're there.
Southern,
it's time.
Southern Pipe and Supply here reminding us 10 days away. That was a little bit of a throwback day on a Wednesday, presented by Brian Harden Construction. Brian Harden Construction, a huge part of our program, always presents Throwback Thursday. Today's a way back Wednesday, I guess it would be. Is that okay, Bill?
That's good.
Way back Wednesday.
And it is. It's way back.
No, come on.